Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Praise God. I want to give you something today, very, very important, I believe. I've mentioned, got to hear or meet Todd and Rochelle last week? Anyway, Todd and Rochelle, and we must have texted each other back and forth 50 times this week already, and he's already texted me early this morning, and they're launching a church down there, and I mentioned last week we want to do something to help them, and I'm not going to do that this morning, but I want you to be praying about it. I'm going to talk to Todd the next day or two, and I want to see what they need, and then we can help them get something they need. How about that? You believe in planting seeds? I believe when we plant seeds there, God lets them grow here. How about that? Okay? I want to read you something, Mark 6:33. Most of you have probably never heard this verse before. But it says, that's Jesus talking. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Take care of its own thing. Sufficient is the day of its own. I didn't plan on reading 34, but I think that's good. Don't worry. Seek first the kingdom of God. Anybody ever read that verse before or hear it? Now everybody get with me, and I won't have to work real hard here to get you today, but just so you don't have to spend half the message wondering what I'm going to be talking about and what I'm getting at. You ever do that? You're listening on the edge of your seat all the time trying to figure out what's he... I'm pretty good at confusing the simple sometimes, but... And just so you know, I'm talking about service. I'm talking about serving the Lord. And my emphasis for serving the Lord is serving Him in this church. Okay? If you're watching this on TV, serving Him in your church. Okay? Does everybody know what I'm talking about today? Service? Everybody know what I'm talking about today? What am I talking about today? Service, serving the Lord, okay? Okay, now we'll set that over here for a second. But he says here, seek first the kingdom of God, and I'll take care of everything else. Did you ever stop to think what an amazing statement that is? Two of us. Seek first the kingdom of God, and our Father will take care of everything else. Now, see, what does that mean, seek first the kingdom? I mean, is that us giving mental assent? Is it us giving our thoughts? Is it us saying in our minds, hey, God, I love you, your first place in my life? Or is it more than that? You know, if we're not careful, we get to the place where we think something instead of praying it. We think something instead of doing it. We think something, and if we can think something long enough, we get our gratification from just thinking it, and we never have to do it. And then we wonder why the things don't work in our life. Is it okay if I just talk to you today? I'm not going to read you a lot of scripture. Is that okay? I don't have the time to read it a lot. I'll tell you some, and you can write it down and look it up and read it during the week. But I just think the Holy Spirit's trying to say something to us as a church. Seek first. If I can figure out what that means, then everything else in my life is going to fall in place. How many ever been at a place? I know you're not there today, but you ever been at a place where stuff just seemed in disarray and you just needed stuff to come together? You just needed some help. You just needed something from God. You just needed something special. You just didn't know what to do. Has anybody ever felt that way? Putting the kingdom first, if it's not just mental assent, then it must be some action. It must be some action on our part. It must be putting first place the things that God puts first place. Putting His kingdom and the advancement of His kingdom first place in our life. That means everything we do, everything we think, everything we go at, we have that in the back of our minds that we're here on assignment. We're here on assignment to expand, to advance the kingdom of God. Does that sound fair? Okay. Matthew 25, I'm not going to read it, but in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, Jesus has just got through talking about the 10 virgins. Some were ready for the master to come back. Some for the bridegroom to come back. Some were not ready. He goes through that little story there. And then in verse 13, he says, "Watch, because you don't know when the Son of Man is coming back." And then he goes into a story about the talents. We've all heard the story about the talents. Gave some 10 to 1, and you know the story. But he gives a story, and there's a phrase in there. It says he gave them his goods. Now Luke talks about the same story in Luke 19, verses 12 through 28. He talks about the same story, and I don't know if it's the same, if they both heard this at the same time, or if Jesus maybe said it more than once. Because imagine what Jesus said. He said it over and over and over and over, because that's how we learn. And when somebody teaches, when we hear something over and over and over and over, it becomes part of us after a while. True? But in Luke 19, Luke says this. He says that the nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then to return. And the orders he gives to those, he says, "Do business till I come." So you got the gist of what Jesus is saying here in this parable. He says, you watch. That doesn't just mean sit down and watch, because he says, you watch because you don't know when the Son of Man's going to come back. And he said, the kingdom's like this. A guy gave his goods. The master gave his goods. How many will have come far enough to know that God's given us his goods? Anybody see the golf cart out there this morning? You like that? We're going to work on that. We're going to have a couple of them hopefully by next week, and we're going to do. But we had golf carts here last week at the conference, and I thought, what a interesting touch, what a good touch, you know, makes you start feeling something right on the parking lot, makes you start thinking about something right on the parking lot, and this is the thing that got me though. This is the thing that I came in Monday morning thinking about it, and I looked in the circle, and the carts were still there. And by Monday afternoon, I'm thinking, why didn't we use those carts Sunday? They were sitting there. They were already paid for. They were there. All we had to do was just somebody get in them and drive them. What you know, how come? And by Tuesday, I'm really beating myself up over this. I'm going, God, how dumb. Why didn't I think of that? Why didn't I think of that? Why didn't somebody think of using those things Sunday? They were paid for. They were sitting there. And now by Wednesday, man, I'm really on myself. I'm almost screaming at myself, you know. And I thought, God spoke to me. I thought, why'd you wait 3 days to speak to me? He said, I wanted you to get the point. I gave you my goods. Why aren't you doing business? Now, if he'd have just spoke to me Monday, that might not have had that emphasis on my life that it had. I'm a slow learner. Anybody like me? But you know, he said, I gave you my goods. He said, why don't you do business till I come back? I went, whoa, okay. Just take me to the shed, Jesus. Just take me there. I just love it when he helps me that way. Seriously, I used to dread it when God would correct me or something. Man, I just love it now, Terry. I just love it because I see that I've got a loving Heavenly Father that wants me to be all that He desired me to be, all that He designed for me to be, all that He planned for me to be. And He's taking the things in my life and bringing them to the surface so I can deal with them and He can take care of them and change me. And then I can be that person that He wants me to be. But the point is, when after he tells these stories, the guys that did something with the goods, he says, well done. He didn't say well thought. He said, well done. You see, is there something missing in your life? Because I talk to Christians everywhere and there's something missing. Do you ever just feel like there's just something missing? You just feel like, man, I you know, have you ever just been dissatisfied and just not know what's missing? And I see people jumping from church to church because they're not satisfied because they just are missing something. And I hear statements like, well, I just wasn't getting what I needed. And you know, in the old days we used to say, I just wasn't getting fed. And you know, and I hear these things and I heard something here a few weeks ago, and somebody said, I just didn't feel like I fit. And I even thought, well, you know, before you can fit, you got to show up every time. Before you can fit, you gotta get involved. You gotta get involved with people. Before you can fit, you gotta talk to somebody. You gotta do something besides just coming in and flopping down in a seat. I just said it for a thought. I mean, they already told me they was going to go to church somewhere else because they didn't fit. Well, you're not going to fit there either. Okay? Because you're not made to fit in a seat. Huh? Hey, and besides that, I don't know that I ever felt like I fit anywhere. Huh? I mean, anybody on my team? I mean, I don't know that I ever felt like I fit. I always had to get in there and make myself fit. I just had to get in there and make me a place. I mean, they didn't want me to do anything spiritual. I mean, I could sweep the floors and I could put the screws in the back of the chairs, but you know, I mean, I just had to bull my way in and make myself a place, you know. But Proverbs says, yeah, give God some praise. Proverbs says, your gift will make room for you. And you know what? After I bulled around for a while and showed up at everything, man, I showed up with the old people who were having prayer meeting. I showed up with the old people. And Bill Cox would say, Hank, what are you doing there with them? I said, I'm going to anything going on. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. My gifts. And after a while, my gifts made room for me. Now, my tendency was to go, well, they won't let me do nothing. They just won't let me do nothing. That was my tendency. That's what my flesh wanted to do. But my old spirit made me bull, boy. Just made me just root right in there. Huh? 41 years later, I'm still rooted right in here, man. Huh? Isn't that right, Kenny? Glory to God. And some of you listening to me, I'm believing in 40 years from now, if Jesus doesn't come back, you're going to still be here saying the same thing. Bless God. God called me to this place. He's used me in this place. He's changed my life in this place. I'm going to stay here and let Him use me to change other people's lives. Well, my point is this. If you feel that there's an element that we have to have in us or we're not fulfilled. There's a dimension that we have to be, that we have to operate in our life, or we're not fulfilled. I can't just come and be here. I can't just come and sit up here and come preach here. No, I've got to be involved with people. I've got to be involved with the kingdom. You're the kingdom if you're born again. I got to be involved with you. See, there's something about God. There's something about God. I can go this way and I can get with God. But for that to be fulfilled in my life, I have to get in contact with you. Now, that's not our natural nature, is it? Our natural nature is, you hurt me, so the heck with you. You know, I'm not giving you another chance. Stab me once, but you're not going to get me twice. I'm not going to get... No, but that's not God. God says, bull on in there, man. Bull on in there. Get in there and let God change you. Let God do some things in you. And He's not putting you any place to change everybody else. He's putting you there to change you. Huh? Well, I just don't like the way she is. I don't like the way he is. I don't. That's too bad. He's probably put you in that position so He can change you. Don't worry. He'll take care of them too. Well, I don't know who that was for, but... For you? Okay. Well, it was kind of for me too, so... There's a dimension, there's something missing in a lot of Christians' lives, because if we're not doing something for the Lord, we're not fulfilled. Okay, stick with me. Matthew, Mark, let me look at Mark 16 real quick. Where is Mark? Oh, that's right after Matthew, isn't it? Okay, so Jesus, now we know this. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Let me tell you how I think we've been reading this. Everybody who believes on me will be saved, and these signs will follow those that believe. In my name, you'll cast out devils, Jesus, and you'll speak with new tongues, Jesus, and you'll take up serpents, Jesus, and if you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you, and you'll lay hands on the sick, Lord, and they will recover. And I wonder if in our lives we're not just getting to the place where we're saying, okay, God, we believe you to do it. But that isn't what Jesus said. He said, you do it. Come on. You do it. He said, if you believe, you will cast out devils. Who's you? Those that believe. How many here believe? Okay, say, you will cast out devils. You will speak with new tongues. You will take up serpents. If you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. You will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I want you to start seeing the commission here. You see, James said, you know, you got the picture? It says here, so then after the Lord had spoken, he was received up to heaven and sat down at the right hand. And they went forth, or they went out. You got to get the picture here. Jesus left, and they stayed. You got that? Jesus left, and they stayed. Jesus is there, we are here. Amen. That's not too hard to get it. They went, and he did. Let it soak in. Jesus said, without works, your faith is dead. In other words, faith, if it doesn't have any action with it, it's dead. If it doesn't have any motion with it, you know what? Action and motion, that means you move. Dreams and visions, ideas, if they don't have any movement, if they don't have any action to them, they'll die. And God's put dreams in every one of our hearts. He's put visions of what He wants to do through us. And if our faith doesn't move, those things die. And then we want to blame the preacher. We want to blame the church. We want to blame our mom, our dad, our husband, our wife, our friends, or whoever. But you know what I've learned is my problem's not you. I don't care how ugly you get. I don't care how mean you are. I don't care what you do to me. My problem is not you. My problem's me. And I want you to understand what I'm saying here. Faith is action. Faith is movement. If you really believe something, you'll act it out. If you really believe you're healed, you'll start acting like you're healed. If you really believe that God's meeting your needs, you'll start acting and talking and thinking like God's meeting your needs. Are you with me? Are you with me? You see, and getting involved with the harvest is what makes everything. Getting involved with the harvest is what makes your faith work. Action. The harvest, the kingdom, the advancement of the kingdom. We're using terms here that are interchangeable as far as this message goes. Anytime I get involved with you, my faith works. I have what I need. God sees to it. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, if you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. If you hear what I'm saying, a lot of this word will start making sense to you, and it'll start coming together. The Holy Spirit will use it. Use some of these things and some of the things He's causing you to think now. And make this stuff come together in your life. You see, if I'm involved in the harvest, if I'm involved in the kingdom, if I'm involved in the advancement of the kingdom, if I care about you, He's going to take care of me. My stuff's going to work. I won't have to be unfulfilled. I won't have to be feeling like I'm lacking something. Because while I'm interacting with you, I'll receive what I need from Him every time. Okay, and so I guess that thing is, you must go. You know, we got to go. We got to move. You want your situations to change? Move. You want everything to come together in your life? It might not happen by in the morning, but do you want it? Then start moving. Start caring about the kingdom. Start caring about God wants what God wants you to do. Start caring about what He wants you to do in this church, in your ministry, whatever. Start caring about the people that you get around. Okay? But now there's just part of this that we miss. What I'm talking about is, this is the only way you're going to get fulfilled. They went, now listen to this, in Mark there, they went, and it says, the Lord went with them and performed signs and wonders. You got what I'm saying? They went. They didn't say, Lord, tell us what to do. He already told them what to do, and they went. As they obeyed, as they got in motion, as they put forth some action, Jesus shows up and does signs and wonders. Shows up and does things. You got to understand what this is all about. This is all about interaction with Jesus. See, there's people all over waiting for the right feeling, waiting for the right thing, because God's going to use me big someday. No, He wants to use you right now. See, it's time for some of us to get off the couch, put the TV remote down, and move. And move. Some action. But what I want you to understand, what happened here, when they went, when they went and started telling people about this Jesus that they had met, when they started telling people about this Lord, when they started telling Jesus, something happened. Something, an interaction, Jesus was with them, and Jesus moved, and Jesus performed, and Jesus did great and mighty things. The relationship. Do you understand what I'm saying? They did the action. Jesus did the power. See, that's how we interact with Jesus. See, I pray a lot. Not enough. I don't want to sound too spiritual. But you know, I talk to the Lord a lot, and I can talk and I can get built up. But until I come to you, until I start using what God's given me to help you, I'm never fulfilled. It's when I start interacting with you that Jesus starts interacting with me. Do you understand? I want you to understand this relationship. I'll keep going around the mountain here till it dawns on us. That's how we interact with Jesus. Do. Go. Help. Movement. Action. You want stuff? You want your stuff to be straightened out? Then hook up with Jesus. The time you hook up at Him is when you're on the move, when you're on the go, when you're moving, when there's action. You see, you plus Jesus always equals supernatural power. You understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking about, we talk about it in a form of duty. It's my duty to go witness. It's my duty to go soul winning. It's my duty. No, it's more than that. It's my interaction with Jesus, because He loves you so much that He wants to send somebody to help you. He wants to send somebody to give you a word of encouragement. He wants to send somebody to raise you up and to help you get up. And if I want to be that one, then we interact. See, we're talking about interaction with the Master. You know, a few weeks ago we talked about the fish and the loaves. Wait just a minute here. I'm working entirely too hard. We talked about the fish and the loaves, and it's in Matthew 14, Mark 6, and Luke 9. But I want you to see the pattern. I want you to see the method that He chose to take care of the needs of the people. Now we all know they were hungry, right? Anybody ever been hungry? Everybody say, if you'd hurry up and get done preaching, we'd go get something to eat and we wouldn't be hungry. But they were hungry. And now listen, He could have rained manna from heaven. Had He ever done that before? Sure He had. But what was the method He chose? What was the message He chose to meet the needs of the people? Okay? He had the people sit down in groups of 50s and hundreds. And here there's like 5 to 20,000 people sitting in groups of 50 and 100. And the Bible says He took the fish and the loaves and said he broke it. He broke it. And he gave it to His disciples. You know, and then the disciples took what they handed to Him, and they went and they broke it, and they handed it to the people. And can't you see the people when they're getting a piece, and they go, oh, here, you want a bite? Here, you want a bite? And here, oh, here's another piece. Here, he blessed it, and He broke it, and he touched it. And then the disciples touched it. And then the people touched it. Somewhere in the process, from when Jesus blessed it and broke it to when the people all got it in their belly, something supernatural happened. Somewhere in the process, something happened. I don't think Jesus worked himself to death there going breaking. Here's another piece, here's another piece, here's another piece, here's another piece. Here. No, he broke it and gave it. And they took it. They took that blessed bread and took it and broke it and gave it. And folks, do you understand there wasn't enough? There wasn't enough that they started with to even feed one of those groups. But the Bible says they got all they wanted and said they were full. And I won't preach that sermon again. You can't get involved with Jesus without supernatural things happening in your life. Your action plus Jesus' power always equals a supernatural. Always, it always makes something happen. Your action plus His power. You got that? You don't have the power. He's got the power. You act and He shows up and gives you the power. He shows up and does it through you. Your action, His power. It always makes something happen. James said, you show me your faith, your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith with my works. And we'll see which one produces the most. Do you understand what I'm saying? God says, Hank, I say, God, I've got these needs in my life. And He says, Hank, will you go do this for me? Will you go talk to John? John's had an operation on his foot, and he needs some healing. Would you go talk to him and pray for him? And I say, yes, sir, I'll go talk to him and pray for him. Somewhere in the process, while I'm going to John and praying for him and doing this, somewhere in the process, I forget about my need, I forget about me, and I'm thinking about him, and somewhere in this process, something supernatural happens. And I turn around and I don't have that need anymore. Are you with me? God says, hey, says, you go talk to so-and-so and you give them some encouraging words and you invite them to church and you tell them about some of the good things that I'm doing and you do that. And so I'm doing it, and on my way I'm going, well, you know, God, I'm driving, but, you know, this is taking a lot of gas because they live 50 miles away and this is taking a lot of gas. And He says, are you going? I said, I'm going no matter what. He said, okay. And then pretty soon, somehow, you got enough gas. He takes care of your need. That's what James was saying. He was talking about interaction. He wasn't talking about trying to get people to do stuff. He was talking about interaction. He said, man, don't, if you're praying for somebody and they're hungry, don't just say, I'm going to pray for you, brother. If you got something to give them, pray for them and then give them something. Give of yourself.
Well,
John 14, oh, this is a good one, John 14. I spend a lot of time in John 14 through John 17 here, man. John 14, he says here, most assuredly I say to you, verse 12, he says, I say to you that he who believes in me, the works that I do, he'll do also, and greater works. Wait a minute, what way we read this is, evidently, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, I'll do again. And greater works than these, I'll do again, because I go to my Father. That isn't what he said. He didn't say, if you believe in me, I'll do the works again. He said, if you believe in me, you will do the works. He said, if you believe in me, I'm not going to have to come back and do it. You will do it. Now get spooky, spectacular stuff out of your mind, because we're always looking for some great miracle. You know, hey, listen, I believe in people getting out of the wheelchairs. I believe in broken bones going back together. I believe in this last day we're going to see limbs grow that have been cut off.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, okay, you don't believe it, you won't see it, but I'm believing it and I'm going to see it. But if that happens, that's great. And when that happens, that's great. But while I'm waiting for something big to happen, I need to be taking care of all the stuff. I need to be helping you with your stuff. You need to be helping somebody with their stuff. Because the big spectacular things that God does might be that word of encouragement you gave to that person and they were thinking about killing themselves. And they, instead they didn't kill themselves. Instead they came to the Lord and now their life's profitable and fruitful and God's blessing them and they're fulfilled. Are you with me? He didn't say if you believe in me, I'll do the works. He said, if you believe in me, you'll do the works. Why will we do the work? We'll do the works because we'll interact with him when we go to doing. When we go, if I go trying to help you, I guarantee Jesus is going to show up. Well, I got financial problem. Well, then why don't you? I was thinking about this. I don't know of any problem, any need that I've ever had that this won't work in. Because when I get to talking to you, when I get to trying to help you, when I get to trying to help you get closer to the Lord, because see, Jesus is our answer. We aren't made to operate separate from Jesus. Every one of us, we have to have Jesus. I mean, if we don't have him, we got an empty place in there, and he's the only one that can fill that place in there. And so if I'm talking to you, that's on my mind. What I'm seeking the kingdom first. I'm taking care of business because you're important. You're important to God, so you need to be important to me. And I forget about my needs. I forget about what I was so concerned about. Don't worry. Don't take any thought about tomorrow. Your Father knows what you need. He'll take care of that. He'll do it. And if it doesn't happen exactly the way I think it ought to happen or exactly the way I want it to happen, big deal. But it's going to happen. He isn't a liar. He can't lie. And if I didn't get it, I must not have needed it. Maybe I'll get it later when I can handle it. Well, you got to get the gist of what he's saying here because you back up and in verse 10 he's saying, what I say to you is not, I'm not saying what's that it's on my authority. What I'm doing here, what I'm saying, it's not my authority that's making it happen. It's the Father that dwells in me. He's the one that does the work. Do you notice what he's offering us here? If you go down to verse 20 and 21, he said, most assuredly, I say to you, he says, and at that day, you'll know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he's the one who loves me, and if you love me, my Father will love you, and I'll love you, and I'll manifest myself to you. Do you understand what he's offering here? He's offering interaction with the Master. He's offering interaction. He goes on verse 23, and he says, me and Daddy will come and make our home in you. You don't mind if I call him Daddy? Because, man, he's closer to me than Father. And then that's okay if he's your Heavenly Father. He's my Heavenly Father. But man, I've got to know him so much, just a little tiny bit of him lately. And man, he's Daddy. There's something in me that's crying out, Abba, Daddy! And that divine connection, do you understand that? Okay, let's catch up here and I'll wrap it up here. But he's going, he's gone and we're here. Okay? He said, everything I've done wasn't me. It was the Father that dwells in me. He says, now me and Daddy are going to come and we're going to make our home in you. So it's not going to be you, it's going to be me and Daddy that makes it happen. The connection. But you know what? A lot of Christians were sitting around waiting for this to happen, waiting for a feeling, waiting to see a bolt of lightning, waiting to see something. No, he said, get up and go. Get some movement. Get some action. And watch this divine connection as it manifests through us. Jim, I get ticked. I just get blessed when I sit around listening to you talk. And you don't know Jim that much, maybe, but he just starts telling stories and starts telling things about God using him, about things that he just thought God said something, and he moved over here, and then he met all these people, and then this business popped up, and then this happened, and that happened, and that happened. And I went, woo, that's God. That's God. That's interaction. Now, if you're sitting there going, well, yeah, but you ain't coming talking to me, and I've got some problems in my finances. I got some problems. I've been sick, and you didn't come talk to me. Hold it. If you're able to say that, then that tells me you're already to a place beyond that. You're already to the place where you're supposed to be going to somebody else. It is, Kenny. He says, do you understand? The stuff that I do isn't, I don't do it. Daddy does it. Father that dwells in me does it. You go, and the things you do won't be the things you do. They'll be the things we do because we dwell in you. But in order for us to dwell in you, you gotta live for me. You gotta keep my commandments. That's not keeping a bunch of rules. You gotta pay attention to me. You gotta be led by my spirit. You gotta love. You gotta make up your mind. You're gonna love everybody instead of being mad. You're gonna love everybody instead of hating them. You're gonna spew out love instead of poison. You understand what I'm saying? He's the head. We're the body. Now, if my head or if my body wants to go to the restaurant after church today, my head tells my body, boy, if you want to eat, you better get up and move. You understand? If my head wants to go somewhere, it tells my body where to go, and my body takes the head where it's supposed to go. And Jesus said, I'm the head of the church, and I want to go some places, I want to do some things, and I'll tell my body, you go do it, you go lay hands on the sick, you go talk to them, you go invite them, you go lead them to the Lord, you go witness to them. Are you with me? It's interaction with Jesus. It's that relationship. It's that interaction that sustains me. And it's what will sustain you. And if you don't feel that, then quit blaming everybody else and you go get on your knees and find out where Daddy wants you to go and what He wants you to do. Because somebody in your path needs what you got. You say, well, I'm hurting. I've just got all these problems. I don't have anything to offer. Yes, you do. Because when you begin to tell them that you've got these problems too, and it ends up being the same problem they got, only they see God's helping you, then they get some hope and they get some strength, and then God starts helping them. And before you get done, you're both just happy. Yeah. Interaction. Well, it's all about the kingdom. I had some more here, but I need to get to this last part here because it's all about the kingdom. What did Jesus pray? Father, your kingdom come on earth just like it is in heaven. Do you think maybe the head was telling the body something? See, when your body wants to act up, your head will tell it don't. When your body is sick, if you'll think your head tells your body is made to heal itself. And you know, if you know, not long ago I started to get up, stand up. And I don't know if some of you know what I'm talking about here, but the stand-up stuff wasn't working like it's supposed to. Huh? I mean, the stand-up didn't work like it used to work. And I went, oh, what's that? And I thought, I'm getting old. I'm getting arthritis or something. What in the world? Then I went, no, hold it. Body, you're healed in Jesus' name. You straighten up. You get up and walk. Well, I got up and walked. And I mean, I didn't say it, didn't hurt, but I got up and walked. And you know what? Now, when I start to get up, most of the time my get up stuff works. Still doesn't sometimes. Are you with me? Jesus says, hey, Hank, hey, body, I need to get something done. Would you go get it? Would you go do it? Would you go? The right relationship will bring the supernatural into your life. You won't ever have to say, well, I'm just not getting my needs met. I'm just, hold it, go meet somebody else's needs. Well, okay, have I whipped that pony enough? Hey, we've been blessed here as a church. I don't know about you, but how many heard Todd and Rochelle last week? And how many were here? Maybe you saw some of it on the broadcast. That was only about half of it on the broadcast, by the way. And Keith or somebody can make sure you get all of it if you want it. But you know, we had a tremendous word given to us. See, it's not often that you get to have somebody from the outside come in and tell you things that they observe from the outside. Because if you're in the inside, we just end up seeing our problems. And if you're by yourself at home, you just end up seeing your problems. And you just think about all the negative stuff and everything. And then you get around somebody and they go, oh, you look good today. And you go, I do. You with me? And they came, and I loved what Rochelle said. She said, you know, she said, you guys don't see what you got. She said, you guys are the most loving church. What'd she say that she'd ever been at? I went, she'd been at a few churches. What I want you to see, I don't want you to slobber all over Rochelle. You know, I don't want you to slobber all over yourself. What I want you to see is a message that Jesus was trying to get to us. You know what it made me want to do? I hope it makes you want to do that. But it made me want to rise to that level. It made me want to be the kind of people that they think we are. I believe you are. But it, I was with Todd, and man, he was just slapping fresh meat in my face, man. I mean, he was just, and I was going, you know, and I thought about just being dead and kind of, you know, and man, he just kept slapping me with this fresh meat and just kept telling me stuff. And then, man, before I knew it, I was excited, and I was, you know, and I didn't start off feeling that way. But after a while. And he was saying, oh, thank you for that wisdom. Thank you, Pastor. Oh, God. And I mean, this was genuine, you know, and I'm thinking, wisdom? What did I say? What, you know? Made me want to rise to another level. See, church, I believe it's time for us to rise to another level as a church. To rise to that level.